Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast, whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one. We're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you find an amazing park that you can't leave. Those of you who are very perceptive have noticed that we didn't have our music today, and I was actually changing it with singing it. Apologies for that. Our sound editor is on vacation. So, Bojan, I hope you enjoy it, and I'm saving money now doing it on my own. So that's pretty cool. Apologies in advance for all the sections that will not be cut, including all my and other background sounds. So this time I'm sending you my regards from Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. I've been in Minsk and Belarus for about 2 months, and it was time to move because my registration was over. So I'm still in Kiev. Now I just got to Kiev, a really cool city, a very big city. Big cities are not really my style, so I'm not sure how long I'm gonna stay, but we'll see if I find my quiet corner. I'm actually in a park now where I did some exercise in the morning with all the people who are now in pension, so that was fun. And I continue working on my Russian all the time, hopefully to get to a level of actually being able to speak with people. So for this episode, what we're gonna do is a light episode of answering questions and comments that were on the blog. So basically, we don't have a lot of questions from the blog listeners, but we do have a lot of comments posted on the blog, and I'm just gonna, you know, pick a few and try answering them a little bit, maybe give a little bit of insights from my side. Those specific comments were actually, you can find them on the Nomadic Lifestyle article that we have. Just Google Nomadic Lifestyle and it's probably going to come up first, and a lot of interesting comments from people. So yeah, let's start with the first comment, and starting with, let's see. This is where Bojan comes handy, because he would cut this part, but what can you do? Okay, we're starting with Chris, that actually says the following. I'm going to read what Chris said and then maybe give a few of my insights. So Chris, in actually September 2013, said the following. I want to dive into the nomadic lifestyle because I noticed my loved ones become happy or disappointed at the things that they have or don't have. Nomadic lifestyle seemed to be the answer, so I don't suffer the same fate. Not to mention, I have divine connection to my maker. My zen is away from this American dream that leads to unhappiness in everyone I know. So, really cool comment. Makes you think about many things. And I totally agree that not all of us have to follow the regular lifestyle. It might be a very good strategy to find an alternative lifestyle in this precious time that we have on this planet, and do something that makes us more happy. So I think that the general direction of this comment is true, and what he said is true. However, and I see this in many comments, a lot of people kind of, in a way to justify the nomadic lifestyle or an alternative lifestyle, are attacking the normal lifestyle. And I would like to say that for me, and I think that this is the best way of dealing with this subject, the basic understanding is that we, or I, don't have a war against the regular lifestyle. It's not an enemy, and it's not something I look down upon. I think that the best position, again, is to respect it and actually understand that this is what works for most people. The normal lifestyle of a 9-to-5 job, certainty, family, and home, for many people, is the optimal solution. I believe in that 100%. So that's the first thing I would say, that if you are building your own lifestyle, may it be nomadic or any other alternative lifestyle, do it from a position of optimizing and not going against something else or running away from something else. And just let everyone play and respect their game. Everyone is kind of trying their best, and again, I congratulate you on figuring out that this lifestyle is not what you want to spend your life doing. That's super cool. I'm doing the same. I would say something else about the comment that even if you take an alternative lifestyle or a nomadic lifestyle, you will still have moments of disappointment and unhappiness as well. So Chris mentioned that those moments usually happen by the things people have or don't have. On a nomadic lifestyle, it will happen just because you are, in a way. You are existing. So, and maybe it will happen more on experiences, on the experiences that you have, and less on the things you have. But disappointment and unhappiness is few of the things you can't really run away from, and that's kind of a beautiful part of life. So you wouldn't want to disconnect from it anyway. Now, for maybe the last thing I have to say about this cool comment is that Chris is saying that nomadic lifestyle seems to be the answer. However, you will only know once you try. There is a very good possibility that on theory you think that the nomadic lifestyle is an amazing thing that is gonna be probably how you spend the rest of your life, and when you dive into it you understand that it's not really for you. This happens to a lot of people, and you have to be open-minded to this option, because I've seen some people that force themselves into thinking that either the nomadic lifestyle or the normal lifestyle are the only one out there, and they have to just, you know, keep on going at it until it gets better. And that's not the case. Sometimes when you feel that things are not working out, although it seems like it's the best way of action, it is not. And that's exactly the point where you have to test, do a little bit of trial and error, and figure out if this is the lifestyle for you. So you can never be sure before you give it a try. Okay, let's move on to another comment. This one is from October 2013. It's amazing. The blog is alive for a lot of time, which makes you think, why is it not successful already? So this one is from James. And James is saying, I have a few questions. The first of which is, do you travel by foot, vehicle or bike? Do you gather your own food from nature? Do you travel with a tent? I'm sorry. Is it hard to find ways to make money on the road? Okay, so why was I laughing? I was laughing because this is basically exactly the questions I would ask before embarking on the journey of a nomadic lifestyle. And I'm laughing a little bit from disappointment with what happened after 6 years on the road. So my vision of a nomadic lifestyle when I started was kind of a hipster vision of, you know, me against the rest of the world, experiencing life, traveling, crazy uncertainty, a tent, cooking on the road, and so on and so on. I have to say that none of that has happened. I plan to do it a little bit more, but none of that has happened. I'm not even sure I'm traveling. The only thing that I do, and just like most other people, is to work about 8 or 9 hours a day, have an office, go swimming, do weekend trips, while, and this is the most important thing, changing the location every 3 months. So basically, I just cut pieces of life in a way. I'm just going from one place to another place every 3 months. And once I get to the place, I try to be as local and normal as possible. So that's a little bit disappointing, I guess, for maybe a lot of the listeners that kind of romanticize the nomadic lifestyle as a full experience of, you know, as a full experience, actually. It's not. It's not for me. Again, I would like to be in this situation, but I'm not there yet. I think I enjoy basically no freedom, but the freedom to change my home every 3 months. And that's where it ends, and that's where I become normal. So this is something that I understood after many years. But again, I would like to say that what I'm doing is a nomadic lifestyle, but it's definitely not the only way of living a nomadic lifestyle. So for James, you can build a lifestyle, traveling with a tent, camping out, and doing workaway all over the place, volunteering or working from people on the road as well. I simply built a lifestyle that is optimal for me currently and my activities that are basically online. So, you know, you have to build your own thing. Now I'm going to answer a few of your questions. So basically, I don't have a vehicle, I don't have a bike or a bicycle. I travel by air and public transport. I'm total junkie of public transport. I do camp when I can. I try to camp a week every 3 months, or at least sleep on the balcony, if I have a balcony where I stay. I basically use mostly Airbnb and Booking.com for accommodation. So very classic ways of getting accommodation. I go to restaurants or I cook. I definitely don't pick up food from nature. Again, sounds super exciting, but this is simply not the place where I am now. I travel light, which means that I don't carry a tent with me. I try to carry as little as things possible. And for me, I have to say that on the last question about is it hard to make money online, it's not hard. I think it takes a lot of time, but it's not hard. It takes a lot of time, patience, figuring out what you do best, working on your skills, also as marketing yourself, communicating, and creating your art. And once you get there, you're going to get paid. So it's something that is definitely not hard to do. And that's basically it. Thank you for the question, and I'm moving on to the next comment. The next comment is by Firms. And Firms is saying, hi, I'm 18 years old. I live on the border and currently attending a med school in Mexico across the border. I'm aspiring to become a doctor, but would maybe like to take a year off to really add some excitement to my life before settling down and travel across the country, working anywhere, and after a month or less, take the first bus out of there to another state and city. To really have a grasp of what enjoying life really means and meet different people with different perspectives on life. Any comments or thoughts would be truly helpful. Okay, Fermis, so thanks for the comment, and that's basically that's a very late thanks, because this one is from October 2013, but here we go, 3 years after. So yeah, I like to say a few things on this comment. Is that first of all, it seems cool. It seems like the idea of just before you're going into a very long career of studying to become a doctor and then practicing as a doctor, take some time off and do your thing. So here what I want to say is basically the nomadic lifestyle has the word life into it, but it doesn't mean it has to be your entire life. Life is kind of short and it has a lot of periods. So having only 1 year of a nomadic lifestyle, or even 4 months or 5 months, is also super cool. You can experiment with it and leave it later. And on this notion, I would like to discuss a concept that I read about. It's basically the concept of bardos. It is part of the Tibetan religion. So basically, bardos are moments of change and disconnection, usually between one period of life to another. And the Tibetans are actually looking at bardos as the most important moments of life. And I think that I do it well, and I recommend everyone to do it well. And what I'm talking about is to take advantage of the periods of breaking away. There are some unique periods in life, they're pretty rare, they don't happen so often, that you have an opportunity to disconnect and live. To disconnect and change. Usually it happens when you are out of school, you're out of the army, out of the university, you quit your job, or you got fired, or you're out of an amazing relationship. So the idea over here is that every disaster or end of a period clears the board. It clears the board for you to be more free and flexible. And again, I really recommend people to take advantage of those periods, of those opportunities. It can be a period and it could be only one moment, because actually most of us, and that's something that I noticed, most of us panic when those things happen. For example, you lose a job and you're gonna find the next job as soon as possible so you can get back to what you used to be. You lost your relationship, you break up with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you're gonna think about finding a new one as soon as possible. And the idea over here is, yes, you will to restore what you had before, but also maybe say to yourself, hey, I lost something very big, now I can actually take advantage of the new flexibility I have to do something new, even if it's for a very short time. So the idea is, do not panic, and actually take advantage of a disaster, a very useful skill. Okay, moving on to the next comment. And this one is from Philip. Philip is asking, what about religions in different cultures and countries? In some of these cultures, you had better be part of the religion or lose your life. How do you cope with it and survive to move on? Okay, that's super dramatic and is not really the case, but a very interesting question regardless. So the idea over here, Philip is asking basically if people are going to tolerate you if you're different and if you're going to end your life tragically. The answer is maybe, but probably not. What I've discovered in those 6 years, and this is common belief by most travelers, is that people are in general good and non-violent and welcoming, especially welcoming to foreigners and tourists. There is something about people that they see someone from a new place or another country that when they actually see them, they're gonna be trying to help and to assist and to make them feel good. So that's something that I've learned. So generally the problem that Philip described does not really happen. And I will say that yes, there are few crazy places in the world where you should never go to. For example, now Iraq, Syria, Libya come to mind. Definitely places where you don't want to experiment. Currently, those are very, very few places. And the world is so big that you can pick the locations that are relatively safe and are tolerant of other people. And again, the vast majority of the countries on the world are. About 95%, 96% of the countries around the world, 95, maybe there are only two or three that are not. So this problem does not really exist. People are super cool. Okay, so moving on to the next question by Hector or comment. And Hector is saying the following. Hector is saying, nomadic person never feel complete in their homes. And me, I'm still looking for it, and it's really hard. Okay, so I really relate to what Hector said over here. I have to say that as a Jew, there used to be a narrative of the nomadic Jew, and that usually happened before the birth of Israel. And let me tell you a quick story about, let's say, what happened in Greece and in Turkey. So the idea was that when the Jews were experiencing the Inquisition and had to leave Spain, the Sultan of Turkey actually gave them a welcome, and he told them, look, you can come wherever you want in my empire. For example, your options are to go to Saloniki, to Istanbul, or to Jerusalem, which was also part of the Turk Empire, Ottoman Empire. And basically all the Jews picked Saloniki and didn't go to Jerusalem, which is their national homeland or like the place where they aspire and pray to. And one English scholar said something very funny. He said that the Jews are very, very peculiar people. They only feel at home when they're out of home. And this is something that I actually experienced the same as a nomadic person. So Hector said that a nomadic person never feels completely at home. And I have to say that I feel that I am at home when I'm not at home. a little bit complicated to understand, but the idea is that I feel at home when I'm not at home. And for me, home is Israel, because that's my country. So that's just an interesting glimpse into a little bit of a philosophical topic. And Hector is also saying, me, I'm still looking for it, and it's really hard, and I agree, it is hard. Apparently, every lifestyle in life is hard. You will have challenges that are probably bigger than the challenges of a regular lifestyle. So again, I'm saying it again, a nomadic lifestyle, from my experience, is more challenging than a regular lifestyle. It's a little bit more difficult as well, with all the uncertainty, loneliness, and so on and so on. However, if challenging and difficult makes you unhappy, that's kind of your call. Not like, by definition, challenging and difficult are not bad. They're only challenging and difficult. Unhappy is kind of bad. So I'm just saying, if you find that this challenging and difficult makes you unhappy, maybe it's time to think about a different lifestyle. And the last comment from today is from Ness. So Ness is saying, and I really like his comment, saying, hi, interesting article. I went traveling on my own a couple of years ago, had to walk into places to socialize on my own, got me out of my comfort zone and shell really fast, gave me a lot of confidence. I felt like I found a new me. Traveling changes you. I met a lot of foreigners and found new respect for all cultures. Worries, if I was still sitting at home, I would be judging from my couch. It felt amazing, like I was alive and seeing the light for the first time. I felt at home. Home is a very interesting concept, by the way. You can see how it repeats in all the comments. What is it about our relationship at home that makes it so interesting? I'll just get back to Ness' comments, and he's ending with, I remember feeling more sociable traveling on my own when I was traveling with a partner, because when you're with someone, you tend to stick to yourself more. Okay, so first of all, Ness, this is a great comment, and I'll just say that traveling, from my experience, does make you grow and know yourself so much better, because as Ness mentions, it simply puts you out of your comfort zone. And there is not a better way of growing as a person than being out of your comfort zone. Because being out of your comfort zone is basically a situation where you're not prepared, or you don't know how to deal with, or is new for you. That's where you grow, not from being comfortable or knowing what to do. I like to say sometimes that the road is my psychologist. So I don't need a psychologist, I kind of have the road, and it fixes everything and makes me understand everything. And yeah, that was a really nice comment. And I'll just say about the last comment of Ness that it's true about the partner. When you're a solo traveler, you're meeting a lot more people than traveling as a partner with a partner. I was traveling, I think, in Thailand with my German friend for about a month. And I realized that after a month that we have not met anyone or have not really had any substantial conversations with everyone as we were traveling as a couple. And the idea over here is that as a solo traveler, and this is a motivation boost for all you solo travelers, you're probably going to spend a lot more time alone if you're traveling alone, but you're going to meet a lot more people as well and have a lot more social experiences. So that's the upside and the downside. And basically that's it for today. That was a very, improvised comment episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And feel free to participate in the discussions and in the comments on the blog on becomenomad.com. And that's basically it. I wish you a happy weekend. Have a good one. Bye-bye.